I don't see any visitors tonight, so I just think we'll just proceed with our midweek family reunion. What do you say? Amen? How is everybody tonight? Happy to be here? Me too. Well, tonight's message started out as a combination of some mini messages, and as usually happens, by the time I stopped taking notes, I realized I had way too much information, so rather than split them up, I just decided to take a single topic tonight. But how many of you are familiar with the YouVersion Bible app? I know Lynn uses it. I know Bob uses it. I introduced it to Mickey. If you don't know what it is, it's awesome. It's a great tool. If you see me on my phone on Sundays and Wednesdays, I'm not texting. I'm pulling up different versions of the Bible when the speaker uses different versions. One touch, you get another version, right? Well, every morning, I read a couple of what they call reading plans. They're daily devotionals, basically. I do it for two reasons. One, because they're powerful. And two, because they help keep me disciplined. I know where I'm going to be at 5:15 every morning. In my chair with my cup of McAfee. So grateful they make those in K-cups now. And you know why McDonald's coffee is so good, right? I did tell you that. It's literally roasted in the shadows of Charlotte Motor Speedway. If you close your eyes, Doc, when you're sipping it, you can literally taste the exhaust fumes and the tire smoke. It's awesome. Oh, I'm telling you. Burns your ear, though. This year, I'm going for two different ones. The first one I'm doing for the first time is Day by Day with Billy Graham, and it's pretty good. But the second one I'm doing is Kenneth Copeland Ministries from Faith to Faith. This is the second time I'm going through it. And the reason I do that is because the guys in the jail read that one. And it's kind of nice to read what they read every day. That way I'm prepared for any questions that come. So, and on a personal note, I don't really care to discuss what you think of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. But KCM provides cases of Bibles and cases of devotionals to the chaplain's library at Beaver County Jail. So the brother practices what he preaches, and I just felt like I should tell you that. But during my reading time, whether it's the reading plans or just, you know, opening up the Bible and reading, the Holy Spirit speaks to me just like he does you. And a tool that I've learned to use inside the app is the notes tool. If you don't know where that is, see me after the service and I'll show you where that's at. But I literally copy the devotional, put it in this notes thing, and then you can import and mention different scriptures that you're reading for references and put anything that the Lord shares with you in there. It's just a good tool. And I'll be sharing one of those with you tonight. Tonight I'm going to share, I chose a topic that every Christian deals with. And some of you may be at a point in your walk where you've learned how to overcome this. I'm not there yet. I'm getting there in Jesus' name. But tonight we're going to talk about worry and anxiety. Worry. Are you an excessive worrier? Perhaps you think subconsciously or consciously that if you worry just enough, you can prevent bad things from happening. But the fact is that worrying affects us adversely in many, many ways. It can affect the body in ways that will surprise you. Amen? When worrying becomes excessive, it can lead to feelings of high anxiety and even cause you to be physically ill. And we're going to be talking about some of that tonight, but right now I want you to turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. And I'll give you fair warning, you can just stick a bookmark in here. We will be coming back. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, we're going to read verses 25 through 34. Matthew, chapter 6, verse 25, New King James Version. Therefore I say unto you, who's speaking here? Think we should pay attention to this? Okay. Therefore I say unto you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink. Nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Verse 28. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Verse 31. Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Now verse 33, the theme of ACA. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, I know you all could probably have quoted that without even looking at it. And not to beat a dead horse, but I want to read the same account in Luke's gospel. Turn to chapter 12 in Luke's gospel. Luke chapter 12. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, we're going to read verses 22 through 32. Then turning to his disciples, Jesus said, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. For life is more than food, and your body more than clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for God feeds them. And are you far more valuable to him than any birds? And you are far more valuable to him than any birds. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Can it? And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying about bigger things? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the flowers that are here today, thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? And don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world, but your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. Verse 32, so don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. There's not a whole lot of gray area in there, is it? I think it's interesting that Jesus equates worrying with a lack of faith. Selah. So do you think worry is a bad idea? Of course it is. But we all experience it. Found this article by Mary Fairchild. I don't agree with everything, and I'll tell you that when we get there. But she says this. She said, we spend an awful lot of time worrying. We worry about grades in school. We worry about job interviews. We worry about approaching deadlines and shrinking budgets. We worry about bills. We worry about expenses. We worry about rising gas prices. We worry about insurance costs and endless taxes. We even worry about having our homes in perfect condition for company, and within seconds of their arrival, the house is turned upside down and no one even notices. Now, this is the part I disagree with. If you know me, you'll know why. We worry about first impressions. We worry about political correctness. We worry about identity theft and contagious infections. But in spite of all the worrying, we're still alive and well. And our bills are paid. Over the span of a lifetime, worrying can add up to hours and hours of invaluable time that we'll never get back. You ever think about that? Wow. Worrying can add up to hours and hours of invaluable time that we can never get back. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Put a bookmark in here. We will be coming back. We're going to read verses 6 and 7. I'm going to take the gloves off now and read it from the Amplified Classic. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, that's the key, continue to make your wants known to God. And God's peace shall be yours. I love this definition. That tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and being content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let me read those scriptures from the Message. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. We could go home right now. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Let me read that again. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Amen? Now, I have a bunch of quotes that I'll read later, but I thought this was appropriate to put it. This is by Mac Licato. He says, no one can pray and worry at the same time. No one can pray and worry at the same time. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. You will want to put a bookmark in here as well. First Peter 5, we're going to read verses 6 and 7. Amplified Classic. Therefore, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you. Verse 7. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. With that in mind, we probably want to spend our time more wisely, and we probably would enjoy that time a lot more. So if you're not convinced to give up worrying, here are four biblical reasons not to worry. Worrying accomplishes the same things that our kids would win when Eleanor, Miss Eleanor, did the activities at Vacation Bible School. What did they win? Absolutely nothing. Worrying accomplishes absolutely nothing. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have a whole lot of time to waste these days. And worrying is a waste of precious time. Time that we can't get back. Worrying won't help you solve a problem or bring about a solution, so why waste time and energy on it? Back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I told you to bookmark it. Verses 27 through 29. This is the New Living Translation. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. Worrying accomplishes absolutely nothing. Number two, we'll spend a little time here. Worrying is not good for you. It's not. Worrying is destructive to us in many ways. It actually becomes a mental burden that can even cause us to grow physically sick. Is that not true, Doc? And the definition of worry gives us an obvious hint. This is from dictionary.com. You ready for this? Worry is to torment oneself with or suffer from disturbing thoughts. To torment oneself with disturbing thoughts. Worrying is feeling uneasy or being overly concerned about a situation or problem. With excessive worrying, your mind and body go into overdrive as you constantly focus on what might happen. In the midst of excessive worrying, you may suffer with high anxiety, even panic during your waking hours. Many chronic worriers tell of a sense of impending doom or unrealistic fears that only increase their worries. It's a vicious cycle. Ultra sensitive to their environment and the criticism of others, excessive worriers may see anything and anyone as a potential threat. That's good for relationships, isn't it? Chronic worrying can affect your daily life so much that it may interfere with your appetite, your lifestyle habits, your relationships that we just said, sleep, and job performance. Many people who worry excessively are so anxiety-ridden that they seek relief in harmful lifestyle habits such as smoking or drug and alcohol use. Look to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Don't take that bookmark out of Matthew 6. Proverbs 12 to verse 25. The New Living Translation says, worry weighs a person down, an encouraging word cheers a person up. The New King James says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. Well, now we got to explain what anxiety is, right? So what is anxiety? Thank you for asking, Tim. Glad you came. Anxiety is an emotion characterized by an unpleasant state of inner turmoil, often accompanied by nervous behavior such as pacing back and forth. It is the subjectively unpleasant feelings of dread over anticipated events, such as the feeling of imminent death. Anxiety is not the same as fear, which is a response to a real or perceived immediate threat, whereas anxiety is the expectation of a future threat. Anxiety is a feeling of uneasiness and worry, usually generalized and unfocused on an overreaction to a situation that is only subjectively seen as menacing. It's all about perception. It is often accompanied by muscular tension, restlessness, fatigue, and problems in concentration. Anxiety is a normal reaction to stress, and can be appropriate, but when experienced regularly, the individual may suffer from an anxiety disorder, and there's a ton of them. Stressful events such as a test or job interview can make anyone feel a bit anxious. And sometimes, and I disagree with this, a little worry or anxiety is helpful, and I'll tell you why later. It can help you get ready for an upcoming situation. For instance, worrying about a test may help you study more and be more prepared on test day. But excessive worriers react quickly and intensely to these stressful situations or triggers. Excessive worry or ongoing fear or anxiety is harmful when it becomes so irrational that you can't focus on reality or think clearly. People with high anxiety have difficulty shaking their worries. And when that happens, they may experience actual physical symptoms. Church, we can add all that to all that, the negative effects that stress has on us that pastors taught us before. So all we can see now that all that worry and anxiety are a not so complex recipe for physical disaster. Mm-hmm. Amen? Isn't it amazing? The Bible's right again. You know? Number three, worrying is the opposite of trusting God. The energy we spend worrying can be put to much better use in prayer. Back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. I should have put a bookmark in my own Bible. Matthew, not Mark, Dean. Matthew 6. Verse 30, New Living Translation. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Philippians chapter 4, once again. Verses 6 and 7. This is the New Living Translation. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I want to share with you the life application study note for those scriptures. Imagine never worrying about anything. Imagine that. It seems like an impossibility. We all have worries on the job, worries in our homes, worries at school. But Paul's advice is to turn our worries into prayers. Do you want to worry less? You want to worry less?
Yes.
Then pray more.
Amen.
Whenever you start to worry, stop and pray. There's a little formula to remember. Worry replaced by prayer equals trust. Worry replaced by prayer equals trust. Worrying is the opposite of trusting in God. And number four, worrying puts your focus in the wrong direction. Worry puts your focus in the wrong direction. When we keep our eyes focused on God, we remember His love for us and realize that we truly have nothing to worry about. God has a wonderful plan for our lives. Jeremiah 29:11. A part of that plan includes taking care of us. Even in the difficult times, when it seems like God doesn't care, we can put our trust in the Lord and focus on His kingdom. God will take care of our every need. Worry sneaks up on us. We tend to think it's not a serious sin like murder or adultery, but it is a sin that reveals a state of our hearts. And the temptation to worry must not be underestimated. If we are habitually anxious about our bills, our budget, our job, our health insurance, our savings, or other financial aspects of life, we are dishonoring the name of the Lord by forgetting His promises and faithfulness. Thankfully, He stands ready to forgive and to remind us of his deep and everlasting love for us. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Okay, back to Matthew 6. I did warn you. Verse 25, New Living Translation. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? One more life application study note. Because of the ill effects of worry, Jesus tells us not to worry about those needs that God promises to supply. Worrying may, number one, damage your health. Number two, disrupt your productivity. Number three, negatively affect the way you treat others. And number four, reduce your ability to trust in God. Ask yourself, how many ill effects of worry am I experiencing? And this is why I disagreed with her comment on worry. Listen to this. Here's the difference between worry and genuine concern. Worry immobilizes, but concern moves you to action. Worry immobilizes. There's nothing good about it. But concern makes you want to prepare for that test. Concern makes you want to look into more about the position that you're going to go interview for so that you're more prepared. It moves you to action. Worry, not so much. You're there in Matthew 6. Look down to verses 31 through 33. NLT, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. You don't have to turn back there, but we're going to read 1 Peter 5:7 out of the NLT. 1 Peter. Should have put my own bookmarks in. I didn't take my own advice. First Peter 5, 7, New Living Translation. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. And one more life application study note. Carrying your worries, stresses, and daily struggles by yourself shows that you have not trusted God fully with your life. It takes humility, however, to recognize that God cares, to admit your need, and to let others in God's family help you. Sometimes we think that struggles caused by our own sin and foolishness are not God's concern. But when we turn to God in repentance, he will bear the weight even of those struggles. Letting God have your anxieties calls for action, not passivity. Don't submit to circumstances, but to the Lord who controls the circumstances. I promised you some quotes on worry. Who can tell me who said this? Worry is an excuse not to pray. Nobody? Pastor John J. Bannon. All right, I'll give you a second shot. Worry is a complete cycle of inefficient thought revolving about a pivot of fear. Anybody know who? No. Nobody knows. It's an unknown author. When I read Unknown Author, I pictured in my mind this guy with a pencil with a paper bag over his head. You know? He did some more too. He said, worry is faith in the things that you don't want to happen. This was from a blog, Cultivate Greatness blog. It says, worry is a prayer for what you don't want. Corey Ten Boom said, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, it empties today of its strength. Worry is the sin of distrusting the promise and providence of God, and yet it is a sin that Christians commit perhaps more frequently than any other. That was John MacArthur. And Josh McDowell said this one. It's a mouthful. Hopefully I articulated it correctly. Knowing that God is faithful, it really helps me not to be captivated by worry. But knowing that He will do what He has said, He will cause it to happen. Whatever He has promised causes me to be less involved in worrying about a situation. It's all about trust, isn't it? This one's good, by the unknown author. Today is the tomorrow we worried about yesterday. Today is the tomorrow that we worried about yesterday. E. Joseph Kosman, I like this one. If you want to test your memory, try to recall what you were worrying about 1 year ago today. And this was might be my favorite. This is Winston Churchill. He said, "When I look back on all these worries, I remember the story of the old man who said on his deathbed that he had had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which had never happened." So to wrap this up, church, I want to share with you the faith-to-faith devotional. This is titled Weary of Worry by Gloria Copeland. She starts off with 2 Corinthians 2:14. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place." She says, as you fight the good fight of faith today, remember this. Your mind is where the battle takes place. Our pastor's been teaching that ever since I came here. Whatever you allow to dominate your mind will rule your life. Will it be the Word of God or the lies of Satan? The decision is yours. If you want the Word to reign, make up your mind now to resist the devil when he comes to plant doubts within you. Refuse to surrender to the circumstantial pressure he brings your way. Decide at the outset that you will not succumb to this trial. Dig your heels in and stand immovable on the promises of God. When thoughts come that are contrary to God's will, what do, Anthony? We cast them down. Good answer. And above all, don't worry. That's his scripture, man. He uses that in the jail almost every time I was there. And above all, don't worry. Hopefully you brought your steel toes today because this one's going to hurt. Worrying is meditating the thoughts of Satan. Ouch! Worrying is meditating the thoughts of Satan. When you recognize you are worrying, stop it immediately. Replace worried, fearful, and doubtful thoughts with the Word. Be assured, Satan will continually try to tell you that your situation is hopeless. He will persistently peddle doubt, defeat, and discouragement. But if you won't allow him to sell you his goods, his commission is zero. If you don't buy his lies, he can't use them against you to come to pass in your life. God has promised that he will always cause you to triumph in Christ. You are guaranteed victory over the adversity you are facing today. Make up your mind right now to be a winner, and you'll spread the knowledge of victory in Christ everywhere you go. Yeah. So, worry and anxiety. What's the answer to all this? You knew the answer before I started preaching tonight. It's Philippians 4:6. And yes, I'm going to read it 3 more times in 3 different versions. New King James, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. The Message, don't fret or worry, period. Instead of worrying, pray, period. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concern. Finally, the Amplified Classic. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance, and in everything by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. In the words of my favorite preacher, worry about nothing, pray about everything. Amen? I have delivered what I have received.